In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we gather here today on the first Sunday of the Great and Holy Fast. We know it in the Lenten period, we are preparing ourselves for Holy Pascha. And the Church changes some things for us so that we might be changed. One of the things that changes in our liturgical life is that the week actually begins on Monday and it finishes on Sunday. Otherwise, the rest of the year it's Sunday through Saturday, Sunday being the first day of the week. But Monday isn't Great Lent, and we anticipate Sunday at the end of the week. And all of this is in preparation for our anticipation of that great Sunday of Pascha. Last Sunday, we said that as we set out on this Lenten journey, this pilgrimage to Pascha, that we have to make sure that we align ourselves and chart our course properly so that we take that first step in the right direction. And we did that with Forgiveness Sunday, asking forgiveness of one another. Because Pascha is about reconciliation of God with man and man with his fellow man. The Lenten period is one of pilgrimage to Pascha, and one of the images that we'll speak about today is that of climbing a mountain. You know, when we begin to climb a mountain, we have to plan it out in advance so that we're able to make it to the top. The most difficult mountain to climb, people know of, is Mount Everest. Mount Everest has a very difficult road to the top. But on the road, it has a base camp. Base camp is where they stop before they make that ascent to the summit, to the heights of the mountain. And actually, for Mount Everest, there's not only one base camp, but there are four subsequent stops along the way to the summit, because it's that difficult to climb. The Church, realizing that it's a difficult climb and difficult ascent to get to Pascha, gives us base camp. Monday through Friday, we'll intensely struggle, and Saturday and Sunday, a little bit of a breather, a little bit of a relaxation time, a time for us to think. Time for us to reflect upon where we're going. Time for us to pause. We don't sing the Lenten tones Saturday and Sunday. We don't wear the purple vestments, the ring of gold. Saturday and Sunday is a festive time for us. And we reflect. Climbing Mount Everest, he said there's one base camp and then four more stops along that journey. Well, in Great Lent, our first base camp was last Sunday when we met and gathered together and we saw where we're going. Our second base camp is today. There are actually six Sundays before Pascha, Pascha being the seventh. On that seventh Sunday, we ascend the heights of the mountain. Today, we have the Sunday of Orthodoxy, a wonderful celebration, a wonderful pause in our Lenten effort. To remember that Orthodoxy works. Well, Sunday of Orthodoxy is also called the Triumph of Orthodoxy. That it's through our faith that we overcome the world, as St. John the Theologian says. Our faith is so important to what we do in our Christian life. Faith can be described in two primary ways, and we'll have two illustrations, one for each of the ways. The first way is doctrine. Everybody knows that faith is about teaching and doctrine. The second way is about trust. First, we'll speak about doctrine. Our doctrine teaches us, our Orthodox Christian dogma tells us that God is infinitely good and loving and powerful and wise, and he wants to share his goodness with us. And he wants us to be filled with his life and his life and his grace and to share this with the world. And we see this in the icon. We see in the icon of Christ, which has the halo, and on the halo it says, Ho on, which is Greek for I am. The revelation that Jesus Christ is God. Remember when Moses ascended the mountain, he spoke with God, and God said to Moses, tell the people that I am. And Christ comes and he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the resurrection. He reveals himself as God. And he gives his grace to those who follow him. Look around the church and see the icons of the saints. And they're surrounded by that glory, surrounded by that halo. But in all of the saints, it doesn't say I am, because only Jesus Christ is God by nature. We share in the divine nature, as St. Peter says, by grace. We participate in God's goodness, His life, too. And we're called to communicate this to the world, to be lights in the world. The illustration that we'll look at today is that of a window. Our church, we have these wonderful, wonderful windows, and they let the light in. How wonderful that light is. I was talking with Dimitri this week about how wonderful light is. How wonderful light is. And we know that in the church, though, often we see that the windows are smaller. They're kind of diminished. And the church is dark. Often we enter into historical traditional churches, they're dark. They're dark churches. But the windows aren't grand. They're small. And the light that comes through that window is a little bit, but two. But the church is full of many different types of windows. Icons have been called windows to heaven. That when we look outside this window, we see the earth. When we look into an icon, we see heaven. We see the glory of God. We see what awaits us in becoming His saints, His people, His chosen Israel. And these icons cover our wall. They cover our wall so that when we enter into the church, we see one big window into heaven. We enter, in a sense, into heaven. We're surrounded by heaven. And the light that we see in the church isn't so much from the windows, it's from the glory of the icon. The glory of that kingdom that awaits us. You know, the human eye is drawn to light. We're in a dark room, somebody lights a candle, we look at that light. We're attracted to that light. And that's because we're attracted to God, who is light. The human being wants God, needs God, and has to communicate God to one another into the world. That's our function. To be filled with God's light and to communicate that light. To be, in a sense, a window. A window. That is our function. So that we can become transparent to God. So that Christ can shine through us. When we talk about the Lenten period in this Sunday of Orthodoxy, remember the historical commemoration of the restoration of the icons. There was a period where icons were destroyed, where people who venerated icons were persecuted. That period came to an end in 843 through the icons and restoration of the holy images here on Iconostasis. When the Empress Irene said, enough is enough, after the Seventh Ecumenical Council, when all of the holy fathers gathered together and said, this is our faith, that we proclaim our faith in Christ, not only by word, but also by images, because He has revealed Himself as the light of the world, the great I Am. He's made Himself manifest, and we should record not only His word, but also His likeness, and that we should venerate not only His gospel, but also His image, because they reveal the Father. This historical commemoration is what we celebrate today, but we celebrate also the celebration of our faith, the triumph of Orthodoxy. Because it's not just about these icons that hang on our wall. It's about the human being as an icon of God, as a window to God. And we struggle to restore that image, that likeness in the Lenten period, to become living icons, windows into heaven. And Mitra, you were talking about how when we see the children in church, wonderful to see that light in their faces, that light of innocence, that's gifted by the grace of God. How when we see our fathers and mothers in Christ, who have suffered long in this lifetime, who required wisdom through humility, that light shines within them. We see our young people with their enthusiasm and their energy and their industry. We see that light of Christ, that power and that energy that is present in each and every one of us as we are becoming His windows so that Christ can be present in the world. But we all know that the challenge that's before us is to make sure that our window is seen so that light that God offers to us can really shine through us. And we struggle with those things, that fight against that light, those passions, those sins, that darken that glass, so that God's light doesn't shine as brightly as it could. And we struggle in our lessons here to be purified, to become clean, to become pure, so that God can shine through us. This is a difficult road. This is a road of purification. Great struggle involved. One of the challenges with going from darkness to light is that we often recoil at first at the brightness of light. That it takes a period of adjustment. And as we grow in our Christian faith, sometimes we struggle to make that adjustment, to become more filled with light. We become accustomed to the setting of the light as it is. So our relationship with God becomes stagnant. And we don't push to become more enlightened, to be more filled with His light. The struggle of the Christian is to clean that glass, to let that light of Christ shine in us more brightly. For our families, for our workplaces, for our friends, for our neighborhood, for society, for the political realm, for every aspect of life, to bring that light of Christ to it. And to do it by being purified, to be more illumined, to becoming transparent to God, so that He can be present not only with us, but in His world. This is what our doctrine is. This is what our true faith is. And what a beautiful faith it is. What a beautiful understanding of the work of Christ, who comes to enlighten the world. The second image, which deals with the second type of faith, is that of trust. Faith is about trust, not just doctrine. We have to trust. We spoke about a window, the first image. The second image will be that of dancing. Dancing isn't something we do very much, but it is something that we're going to talk about today. You know, our relationship with God is one that continually undergoes change. That is continually being transfigured and transformed. But that process is difficult. That process is especially hard at first. Because God asks us to do things. And what He asks us to do is difficult. Difficult to be purified. Difficult to give up our passions. To walk away from our sins. It's a challenge. It's very difficult. To be illumined and to be filled with God's holiness, which at first we recoil a little bit from. It's too bright. But if we grow in understanding of our relationship with God, we'll see that it's to our benefit. You know, the term Israel is used in the scriptures, and it refers to the relationship of the Old Testament people with God. And it was first used when Jacob wrestled with God. Israel literally means the one who wrestles with God. And Jacob had this wrestling match with his angel of the Lord, and in a sense he was wrestling with God. And the heights to which he was called, he saw that ladder ascending to heaven. And he wrestled with God. And that's what we do as Christians. We wrestle with God. He tells us to do something, and we say, oh, that's so hard, I'm not sure, I don't know if I can do it. This is a little bit frustrating. Lent is a little too long, fasting is too difficult. The prayers overwhelm me. There's so many things we got to do, so many obligations. And we find ourselves wrestling with God. And Lent is a season of this kind of dread. This is only part of it. But this is the part that we have to address, we have to deal with. So we wrestle with God, we struggle with it. But you know what? The wonderful thing is, that in this match with God, in this wrestling match, we can never win. Sounds strange to say it's wonderful, but it is. Everything in Orthodoxy has a certain paradox to it. Because by losing in our wrestling match with God, we actually win. By losing our life, we save it. By dying, we live. By becoming foolish, we're made wise. Right? Everything is reversed in the spiritual life. This wrestling match with God is one we need to lose. We need to lose it, and we need to lose it fast. If you picture two high schoolers wrestling on a mat, their coach would be yelling, roll over on your back and get pinned. Get it over with. You can't win. That's what I say as your priest. That's what my bishop says to me. Roll over. Lose the match to God. Let him win. Because it's for your benefit. Maybe an illustration that helps us understand this a little bit better is dancing. When we dance, and two people are struggling to take the lead, it doesn't work out so well, right? One person has to lead, one person has to follow. And when two people are struggling, they're dancing and they're trying to lead, it's a wrestling match. Right? But it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be a dance. If we let God lead us, if we let him win, then we go through life with grace. We go through life under his leadership. He directs us to joy, to triumph, to peace, to reconciliation. All of those wonderful things. Lent is a period for us not to wrestle with God, it's for a period for us to dance with God. And where do we do that dancing? Where do we have those lessons? Right here. The floor is open. It's like a dance floor here. Everything we do in church is, in a sense, choreographed. Right? The movements of the clergy, the movements of the servers, the movements of the people. Everything is beautifully arranged. And we function as one unit, dancing with God. He's our leader. Liturgy has been likened to a dance. Wonderful dance. How wonderful it works when we let God lead. When we cross ourselves when it's close to call. When we bow. When we light our candles. When we venerate the icon. When we come to receive Holy Communion. When we stand at attention. When we seek the peace. When we sing. When we glorify God. We're dancing with him. We're dancing with him. And then we go out. And we continue that dance. Everything in our Lenten lives, in our Christian lives, is ordered by God. What we eat, what we watch, what we listen to, what we read, how we spend our time, how we go to work in the morning, and we come home in the evening, how we lie down to sleep at night. All of this is part of the dance with God. All of this is that wonderful relationship with God that we have. You know, Israel not only means the one who struggles with God, but Israel also means the one who sees God. He sees God and realizes who he is and what he's doing for us and what he's calling us to. Lent is the most wonderful time of year. It truly is. Because we get to see who God is, what he has for us. And we get to actively pursue that. To become his windows, to become his icons, to become his dancing parts, to be filled with his grace, to experience his joy and his activity. The triumph of Orthodoxy actually reminds us of this. Brothers and sisters, we have more to do. More purification is at hand. And ascent is there for us. Let us take this pause. Let us consider the wonderful victory of our faith, which overcomes the world. And let us redouble our efforts in this Lenten season, so that we can, step by step, stage by stage, arrive at Pascha, that foretaste of the heavenly kingdom. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.